You are listening to the Fire You Carry podcast. On today's episode, we are joined by Brady McLean of Go Fast, Don't Die. Go Fast, Don't Die is a brand. They have a lot of really cool products on their website, which we do think you should go check out. However, unlike most brands that we do follow because they have cool content, the stuff on Go Fast, Don't Die's website has some heart behind it, has ethos, worldview, comes from actual real life experience. And I can guarantee you that if you go there, you're going to identify with some of the things you will find there. If that doesn't make any sense to you, go check it out. You will immediately see what I'm talking about. The reason that that is the case is because of Brady. Because the things that are on that website come from his life story, which is a difficult one. And we go into that in the episode. He's seen some trials. He's had some hardship. He's had to fight through some things that were incredibly difficult. And he made some decisions along the way that dramatically altered the path of his life in a good and positive way. So with that in mind, enjoy this episode where Brady shares his life with us, and we touch briefly a little bit here and there on Go Fast, Don't Die, the brand, why it exists, and what it is. But really, this episode is about Brady and his life, and there's a lot that can be taken from that story.
There is, you know, capital D death, the end, right, which we are all on our way to. And then there are small deaths along the way. And a lot of people, really, they die somewhere in the middle, and then they continue to eat, sleep, and breathe and do the thing until the capital D death meets them. And our brand, if nothing else, is to encourage people to live a life minimizing small deaths, minimizing, you know, anytime like, hey, I should have said something there and I didn't. That to me is a small death. I should have gone to the gym and I chose not to because of the weak part of me won the battle today and I don't love that. That's a small death.
Hey, well, welcome back to the Fire You Carry podcast. Today we got Brady McLean, who we're just talking about. We're just talking about Go Fast, Don't Die. And Brady, it's great to have you on, brother. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kevin. I appreciate you having me on.
We want to talk about your brand, and maybe you can tell more about it to start off with. But Go Fast, Don't Die. Immediately it jumps out at me. You're like, it's a calling. It's kind of like a calling to a man. I think so many of us, you can see, we get, you know, you get married, you get into work, you kind of get into the cubicle lifestyle, whatever. And I don't think that's what we're designed to be. And I think when you hear Go Fast, Don't Die, there's something innate. There's something deep in that says, wait a minute, what am I supposed to be doing here? And maybe you can speak to that. Maybe if I'm way off base, but that's what it says.
No, you could not be more spot on. I love that you say that. You know, because the idea, so we have a piece on our website that says what Don't Die means to us. And if you're paying attention to this and you are the least bit interested, which you might be because you're listening to this, I encourage you to go check that out. What Don't Die means to us. And if you just type it into Google, it'll pull up that page. And it, the biggest part of that is a Marianne Williamson poetry piece. And it's really about death in small doses. So there is, you know, capital D death, the end, right? Which we are all on our way to. And then there are small deaths along the way. And a lot of people, really, they die somewhere in the middle and then they continue to eat, sleep, and breathe and do the thing until the capital D death meets them. And our brand, if nothing else, is to encourage people to live a life minimizing small deaths, minimizing, you know, anytime like, hey, I should have said something there and I didn't. That to me is a small death. I should have, you know, gone to the gym, you know, and I chose not to because of, you know, the weak part of me won the battle today. And I don't love that. That's a small death. And, you know, I should have gone on this motorcycle trip. I should have whatever that thing is. And it really transcends motorcycles. So it motorcycles has been our expression of it. And it's kind of how we've come up and kind of how the brand got started. But what it is now, we're so much more of a mental health company than we are a motorcycle, you know, lifestyle apparel brand. I think that really minimizes it. And it's just, we are just not focused on apparel is like 5% of what we really spend our time doing, which is funny because it's where, you know, 90% of our income comes, but we really just didn't start this thing for an income, which is good. If you want to make an income, probably starting a brand is a rough way to do it. but if you want to make a really cool story and you feel called to do that, you know, I think that your brand, everyone has a brand. People talk about personal brands all the time. It's your message to the world. And this one is ours collectively. So yeah, that's exactly what it is to answer your question. Sorry, I'm ADHD, so I will bounce off.
Great. I don't think we take a tactical pause and we actually think about those tiny desks or those small desks that we do every day. You know, and I know you're in the fitness world too, and you do some things, but I think like part of the reason some of that like ice baths and some of those things are going, because it does kind of kill the little inner bitch inside that says, I don't want to do this. I'm too old. Maybe I should just hang it up and just relax and I've earned my time. But I don't think that's what we're designed to be. I think we're designed to have, anything good, it comes hard. And I think that, you know, by trying to do that, I think it does help with the mental health aspect of things. Like, I think if we just give up, we're dead.
Yeah. And the thing is, you're not going to fool yourself. So sometimes people will, I always encourage, hey, whatever your calling is, you know, my definition of success is when you're in alignment with what you're called to do. When you're in alignment with who you're called to be. So when most people think about success, they think about money, fame, power. One of those three buckets or all of the above, some pie graph of those, right? And my big belief is that when you are in alignment or when you are not in alignment with your calling, there is no amount of money, fame, or power that can make you successful. And you can't lie to yourself about this. You have to not capital kill yourself, but quote unquote kill yourself. You have to deny yourself and your calling to actually live that way, and which is the biggest tragedy I think that we see. And also when you're out of alignment, you can't be successful no matter how many of those things. And when you're in alignment, there is no lack of money, fame, or power that can make you not successful. And you can't deny that to yourself, right? Like we can say, hey, you know, I'm past my whatever. I think it's time for me to hang it up. I don't need to do that anymore. And if that's true, I encourage people to lean into that. That is beautiful. You know, you don't have to. You don't need to prove yourself if that's true for you. If it's not true for you, then don't lie to yourself about it, because you're creating a really bad relationship with yourself. You should be your own best friend. You should tell yourself the truth. If you can't tell anyone else the truth, you should at least be able to tell yourself. And if you're lying to yourself, one, you know it. And how does it feel to live with a liar all of the time, knowing this person is lying to you? That doesn't sound like a great roommate.
No, it's the worst you could possibly be. Yeah. You have to your own self be true, right? I mean, without that, you're nothing, right?
Yeah.
I read a post that you put on your, I think it was Instagram, and I thought maybe you could talk about it. People might not know about like the American bison and going into the storm. Mm. And I love the analogy. I have heard that before. But I think it's been true in my life that the bison has two options, whether they can go into the storm or you can run away from it. And I've been guilty of running away from the storm many a times and it doesn't work out, but maybe you can expand on that and talked about that.
Yeah, well, same guilt. I've ridden my motorcycle hundreds of thousands of miles trying to get away from something, you know? And so the post you're talking about, we did a trip out to Western Wyoming and hung out with Jason, who runs the Tribal Buffalo Initiative. So he raises buffalo over there, and he's really passionate about raising bison and letting them be wild. You know, they're not livestock. This is wildlife. And it's a big part of their tribal beliefs. It's a big part of what he does. He's trying to preserve something that's really important to him. That's super cool. But one of the cool things that I learned was, so livestock cattle, which no one really would aspire to be call themselves like, yeah, I'm cattle, or me and my group, we're a bunch of cows. I don't think there's anybody out there that, I'm sure there is actually, there's somebody doing that
thing, but, a couple.
Yeah. But, not me and not most of the people that I align with. But so cows, when there's a storm coming and they start feeling it, they'll run away from it. And what happens is because they can't outrun the storm, they end up spending a lot more time right underneath it. So here's the cow. I don't know if people are listening or actually watching this, but they're running away. The storm is over the top of them and they stay longer.
It's following them. Yeah.
It's following them. And so they end up just living more misery than was ever necessary, right? And the difference in the American bison is the American bison will sense the storm and they'll run towards it. And they'll end up running kind of right through it. And so it's real bad, real fast, and they just go into it, but they get through it much faster. It passes over them and they go through. So much like, are you familiar with Ryan Holiday? Do you know Ryan Holiday?
Yeah.
So I met Ryan Holiday actually kind of at the beginning of when we started Go Fast in Colorado. He came to a retreat that I went to with a handful of friends and new friends. But he has a book called The Obstacle Is the Way.
Yes.
So when we, you know, I think about that book, when I think about the story of the American bison and, when we have an obstacle, you know, we can avoid it. We can go away from it, but it doesn't go away until we make it go away. Or someone else makes it go away. And if you want to put your story in the hands of someone else, well, it's a dangerous thing to do, but I love the idea that they just go, oh, storm, let's go, pick up, let's go. Much like firefighters, you know, you hear that, like, time to go right now. And there's not a minute for hesitation. Throw it on. Our fire captain actually, he does CrossFit with us. He just retired yesterday, so that's good.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, he's at Ryan Holiday. It's pretty cool. I think he has Ego is the Enemy and Obstacles the Way. I think I've read both of those.
Yep.
But it's right. I mean, you have two choices. Like you have two choices. Like you can numb the pain, whatever you're going through, whether it's a breakup or you got fired at work. And I've seen guys do that. They'll drink their way through it and never actually feel the pain. Or I feel like you can run into the storm and say, I need to get help. I need to get around the right guys. I need to talk about this. We'll figure out a way. And for me, I know I got to get around guys like you. I got to get around my core true buddies. To be like, this ain't you, pick it up, figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And got to go through that storm, man, because I think you're going to feel the pain. You're going to work through it. And I think you're going to mature and grow way faster than being a cow and just staying with it forever.
And the idea that they can avoid the pain, that's they only prolong it. And that's the thing that I think is so attractive about avoiding it or drinking or, you know, doing whatever they can to quote unquote numb the pain, and they really just change the pain and they really prolong it. And I understand that. Like I'm human too. I get it. I get wanting to walk away from that. We feel something too hot. We pull our hand away. Like we at the core, you know, you're chasing safety, but when you're paying attention to what you want right now versus what you want the most, you're probably telling yourself a lie. So I think you really got to zoom out and go, what's the actual best thing here? How do I actually strategize this? You know, because I'm not trying to just survive. I'm trying to win the war of my life. I'm trying to, you know, be the captain of my fate.
I love it. I think we run a men's retreat and we do some hard things. And I think that's what we're designed to do as men. You know, we do jujitsu. So I maybe wanted to talk about your jiu-jitsu journey. I heard you're a black belt in BJJ.
Yeah.
How long did that take you to become a black belt?
Yeah, hard to say. I started with MMA. So I, that journey, even that just the journey of health has been a physical health, with obviously mental health coming along right alongside that. Started with, I was just overweight. So I weigh right now about 177 pounds and same frame, a lot less muscle. I weighed about 220 and I was just, you know, like I was overweight and I was out of shape and I was just, I mean, my body was just not a great temple. It was more of a bouncy house. And I decided to get in shape through a series of events. And then once I kind of got in shape, I lost a lot of weight and just kind of like put my head down and put in the work and did the diet I knew how to do and did the work I knew how to do, which was very little and very simple. That equation actually is much simpler than people like to make it. But then after that, I started, I had a friend who was doing mixed martial arts and he wanted to get in shape because he needed to get in better shape. He loved fighting, but he was in bad shape, which is not good for fighting, if in case no one's put that together.
But not good at all.
Not a good idea. So I was like, well, hey, I'll help you with your training and you teach me MMA. And so I started doing MMA and did that for 3 or 4 years. And then, you know, with which obviously involves jujitsu, it was just much less. And then probably in 2013, 2014, I really swapped and got into jujitsu heavily. My coach was my coach at the time was a Pablo Popovich black belt from South Florida. And he moved up to our small town in Wyoming. And when he first told me that he was, I knew who Pablo Popovich was, you know, Pablo was one of the greats in the world, ADCC champ and all that. And so I was like, I knew who that is. But, you know, people will come through and they'd be like, yeah, I'm a purple belt or whatever. They don't know what they're talking about. Anyway, when he moved to Sheridan, he showed up and he was like, yeah, I'm a black belt under Pablo Popovich. I was like, that's not true. At that time, there were no black belts, you know, like black belts were like, they were a white buffalo. And there certainly were no black belts in Wyoming. And if there were, there certainly were no black belts under Pablo Popovich, you know, the best guy in the world at the time. Pablo and Marcelo, those kind of were like my guys. And so then I rolled with him and I didn't know what happened exactly when we rolled, but I didn't know how good he was, but I knew however good he was some realm beyond anything that I had ever experienced. So I kind of quit MMA. I kind of quit everything and was like, I'm just going to pour into this and poured into that for a long time. And kind of ever since then, somewhere along the way in that journey, you know, I got really competitive, went to World Series of Grappling, went to World Series of Grapplers Quest, went to a bunch of Fight to Win tournaments and tried to just compete as much as I could, which was not easy being from Wyoming. I ended up like, I'd ride my motorcycle to a competition by myself, compete, you know, throw the gi back on the bike and like ride home. It was terrible. I didn't have money to like get a hotel, you know? So it just was like, be tough, you know? And it was really funny. But then my coach moved away, and when he moved away, kind of the jiu-jitsu program went away too. Like a lot of guys weren't coming. And so the only reason they would come is to train with me. And I was training for competitions. And so I was taking a little more seriously than most of the guys casually wanted to roll. And I was at a higher level than they were. So most guys weren't just signing up to get beat up. You know, they just weren't that into it. They're like, yeah, maybe once a week or something. So I spent a lot of time by myself with the blue dummy. And that guy is tough, man. You cannot tap him. It just doesn't matter. He's my master every day. But through that process, you know, I kind of got my heart broken in jiu-jitsu a little bit and was like, well, I guess I either move away or I find something else. I either move away to pursue this as like a bigger deal. And I was like, I was married, you know, and I was like, well, I'm not doing that. So that's when I got into CrossFit. And I went to the CrossFit gym and was like, hey, you know, I kind of knew them and they knew about jiu-jitsu and MMA, you know, it was just too... I think those two things are things that a lot of people, about specifically a lot of men, are called to. They go, hey, I want to go test myself. I want to go fight. I want to go get like, you know, get physical and throw down and be competitive and all the things that come along with that. So it was a lot of really like the same hearts who just found a different spot. So I got into CrossFit and real quickly I was all in. I got my level one. I opened a gym in Reno with a friend. And got super heavy into that. And anyway, yeah. And then
that's awesome.
Fast forward through all kinds of stories and ups and downs and all that. And I got my black belt last December.
Yeah. There's similar mindsets, right? I've done both CrossFit and jiu-jitsu, more CrossFit than jiu-jitsu, but there is a similar mindset where like you're in a bad spot, but it's not horrible in jiu-jitsu and you have a decision to tap or not tap. And there's those times in the workout where you're like, oh, I can just cut this corner, or I can just call this the ninth rep when really it was the second. You know, there's those little corners and those inner battles that you have to have. And I think it's a similar mindset, because both are extremely humbling. Your first month in jiu-jitsu is super humbling, and your first month in CrossFit is super humbling. And you either, they have like, I do think both kind of kill egos. You, if like you have a guy that comes in, I mean, both will crush your ego pretty quickly, because there always is somebody bigger, stronger, faster in both realms.
So when I told you, when I started MMA, I was my buddy who, he was living with me at the time. He was kind of cleaning up his life, and I invited him to come live with me. It's what started as like, hey, come stay with me for, you know, a couple of weeks and let's like get you on the right track. And he was staying with some, he was staying in a real bad place. I was like, it's only a matter of time. He had tattoos up and down his neck. Like, he had been in trouble with the law. I was like, dude, if, when they get in trouble for what they're doing, you are going down with them. I promise. They're going to take two. He had long, scraggly hair. He's a 6'4", 225 pound professional fighter. You know, like, dude, you're going down and no one's going to listen to you. They're like, oh, I wasn't involved. They're just sleeping here. So I was like, you got to get out of that environment. Come stay with me and we'll start training together. So when I started training, like I said, I had lost, Noel, I think you weren't here for this part, but at some point in my life, I lost about 80 pounds. And yeah. So I had lost from 220 down to about 145, 150, which was super skinny for me. I just like kept losing weight because I didn't really know what else to do at first. So I was in there with a 225 pound professional fighter, and that was my only training partner for about 8 months. And he was not nice about it. He just smashed. You ever see that scene where Hulk grabs whatever the god guy is? And just like smashes, he's like, oh, you can't mess with me. I'm a god. And he just grabs him and just like smashes. That was me for about 8 months. So you talk about like your first month being super humbling. My first year, I didn't win a single time for 9 months. And then I tapped him once and it was the most scary thing I had ever done.
Oh God, he's going to eat me alive.
I almost let go, but I was like, I think this is my chance. I can hear him gurgling. I think I got him.
I love it.
We want to be humbled, and we want to find an environment where we can sharpen ourselves. I think that is the go fast, don't die message, is kind of find your edge and live there. And what's cool about CrossFit is, you know, your opponent is yourself. Your opponent is your best performance. And so you meet that moment where you can hit the quit button or not. And you're constantly pursuing getting there and then just pushing that quit button a little farther away every single time. You pay a big cost to get there. Maybe not at first. Maybe at first you want to quit in 10 seconds. And then the next time it takes you 30 seconds. And the next time, whatever. But you're constantly improving, and there's constant progress, you know, across broad time and modal domain. There's constant progress to be made. So both are awesome.
Yeah, I think the greatest thing that CrossFit gave me is the ability to say, you're just going to grind it out. Like, there's things when I'd first come in, they'd be like, there's no way I'm going to get that work done. That sounds impossible. Yeah. And then you do it. You know what I mean? Or the first time any one of those hero workouts were programmed, they're like, no way. And then you do it. And I think it just gives you a little bit of a thing to say. It definitely transfers over to our world, where what seems unmanageable, you just keep checking away one little bit at a time and then you knock it down. So I think that's probably the best gift, I don't know, that I think I've gotten out of that. It's just the mindset.
Yeah, do hard things. I mean, you know, like, we are called to do hard things, and we are at our best when we have something hard to push on and that pushes back on us. You know, like, we're supposed to sharpen. We're supposed to challenge ourselves and grow. It's just anyone who doesn't feel like that's something that they're called to do, we should just check in on those people, you know?
Mm. Brady, we were talking about doing hard things, and I know I've heard you on another podcast talk about maybe the catalyst for starting Go Fast, Don't Die was a divorce. And I wondered if you'd be open to talk about that, because I think not too many guys think about that. And then what happens, and I've seen so many, it can take them two ways. They take them into the darkness and we never hear from them again. But it seems to me that you came out the other side and started doing things for yourself. And maybe you can talk about that long winter.
Yeah, man. We talked a little bit before the you know, I appreciate you asking me before the podcast. We just chatted just a little bit about that. And I said, like, I think that when you, some people, I think they go through divorce and I don't necessarily believe them when they say like, oh, whatever, she sucked and this, that, or whatever. I really feel like that's masking most of the time, and maybe not. I'm definitely a hopeless romantic. I love love. I'm not a quitter. Like, it was the worst case scenario for me. It was not good, and the details of it were even worse. And we don't need to go into any of that. But the long winter that you talk about, I kind of learned after sort of a long fight and a long holding on to something. At one point I was sort of like, well, I'll just be married for the rest of my life by myself because I said I would, you know, because, you know, my Instagram is Brady Till Death, and it changed because I was like, well, I guess this is my story because I said till death do us part. And so that's what I said. That's what I'm in for. And, you know, what I came to learn was there is the capital D death. There is the end for us. And there are small deaths in that. And that's really what Go Fast, Don't Die is about. Obviously, we don't want people to die. And obviously, every one of us will. If you go to the spot on our site that says what don't die means to us, you'll learn that it's about small deaths. It's about little things. And so the death of that, the death of, you know, my marriage came, and I kind of realized, and that once you realize a death, you begin mourning, you go into this mourning place. And for me, it was the end. You know, it was, so much of what I rooted myself in, and so much of, you know, my, what I considered to be my story and my value and my place in the world and what I was proud of, was being a good partner, was being a good husband, was being a good son-in-law, you know, all of these things. And when I sort of reached this place of like, this thing is not going to be any longer, and this is really truly, it is done. It was at the beginning of winter, unfortunately, literal winter, not just the figurative winter. And
a Wyoming winter.
A Wyoming winter at that, which if no one's ever experienced, it's a cold one. And this was the coldest by far. I don't know what the weather was like. I don't even remember, but I don't remember being warm a single time, not anywhere in my body. And so I lived in a house that, you know, we lived in, and I lived there alone now. And at one point, you know, we got into an argument, and it was like, hey, I need you to, this weekend, I need you to put a sticky note on anything that you think you want to keep, because I'm going to, you know, move out. And if there's something that you think is yours or whatever, you know, you go through that process. And I was like, there's already a sticky note on everything I care about, you know, and like, you just take what I, like, my life is over, you know, I don't care. And so what happened was the place kind of got emptied out, which was fair. That's what I said. But what was sort of left there was this rocking chair, which is now my most prized possession. If anybody ever tried to, it's a rickety old chair, but it is by far, the thing that I, it's mine. But I sat in that chair a lot that winter, and I sat there, and it was the scene of rocking chair, and I had my little stereo there, which is a crappy little stereo I've had since I was 15. And I was listening to a lot of David Ramirez. And if you've never, you guys know David Ramirez?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you know what I was listening to. And David actually has become a friend since then. You know,
oh, rad.
Yeah. So dude, life is insane on the other side of this whole story. And anyone who's listening to this, who might be in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that winter, or at the beginning of that process of heartbreak and emptiness and, you know, a complete lack of hope, they might not believe me, but I promise, there's light on the other side of it. So the beginning of that, I kind of had this thing, and then I listened to this music that just sort of reaffirmed, like, I'm like, yeah, this is sad and I am sad and this is all makes sense, you know? And in that process, I kind of reached this place where I was like, okay, this is the end of my life. This is the end. And it was like, what did I do with my life? What's my story? You know, if this is the end, what's the story of Brady? And I was like, okay, well, I had a punk band and we had some shows and that was cool. And I skateboarded and what else did I challenge? I did some challenging status quo. I loved that. And I was sort of like, I haven't done that in a long time, but I loved that I did that in a former life. And then I, you know, I got married and I went to the lake on the weekends, you know, and we went to a tropical vacation once a year, you know, and we went to Sturgis to the motorcycle rally once a year too as a family vacation. And I was sort of like, man, everything that I find value in is now done. We don't do that anymore. And also, like, my story is just not that inspiring. I'm just not that proud to tell it. I'm not that happy for this to be my story. This sucks. And I, you know, we all, when you're in the deepest depths of that darkness, you know, I made the decision that I was not going to kill myself. That I really don't believe that that is, I don't think that's any promise of things getting better. I think it's just a guarantee I don't think that there's any guarantee that it doesn't get worse on the other side. It's just a guarantee that it doesn't get better here. And so it wasn't like and also I was like, well, what if my mom finds me? That was actually this factor that I remember sitting with. I'm like, yeah, definitely not. Can't do that. So shout out to my mom for saving my life again. But once I realized that was definitely.
Can we dig into that for 1 second?
Yeah.
As a guy who's also struggled with thoughts of suicide and plans, even at one point in my life, which I've talked about on this show before, but I feel like your statement that you made the decision not to do that. I mean, obviously that illuminates a lot that was a thought, right? And, you know, depending on who's listening to this, there are other guys out there who have had that thought. It's just a guarantee. But to take that step and to think it through to the point of what you thought, which is, I don't want my mom to find me. One of the things I thought back in the day was, I don't want my kids to find me, which is very similar. But then to make that next step and actually consciously make that decision that I'm not going to do this, I think is incredibly important and something that bears repeating for anybody out there that could be struggling with that.
Yeah, man. I remember sitting in that chair and I remember sitting in that chair with a pistol in my hands, like just like, I don't know, you know, I don't know that I was ever suicidal. I don't know where the line is, right? Of like, well, was I suicidal or was I having ideations or was I, but I thought that I just was like, I don't want to feel the way that I feel. And I don't see any, there's nothing on the horizon that tells me that I'll feel otherwise. This is going to get worse before it gets better. This sucks already. I'm letting everyone down because I don't want to show up for anything. I'm only going to continue to let the other people down. And I'm so sad that I don't even care. And I just don't want to feel the way that I feel. And so I could drink about it, which would just like make it worse. You know, it might make it better for a second, but that's not the path. And I was, you know, had the wherewithal to know that that wasn't it. And I just remember sitting there and just kind of playing it through in my head. What does this look like? How does this go? What if I mess it up? You know, like what's my backup plan? You know, like what's just insane, man, just a crazy time. And when you're in that, you know, it makes sense. And now when I look back and I'm like, I just want to hug me. You know, I wish I could just show up and be like, dude, come here. It's going to be all right. And when I played it through, I was like, I can't do that. you know, and I knew I couldn't do that. I knew that that wasn't the right thing. And I think a lot of people know. It's really scary because obviously all it takes is a momentary lapse in judgment, just a single second of it's bad enough right now, especially when you,
well,
we're in Wyoming. There's more guns than there are people here by, you know, 15 times. And most of the time that's, that makes for actually a very peaceful place. Like we are mature with guns where we grow up. I grew up with guns and I, you know, I knew better. We talk about you, all that didn't matter at the time. And it was just something you think through. I knew that that wasn't the right thing and I wanted it to stop. And that felt like it was an option. It was an option that was on the table. And yeah, man, I think if someone's listening to this that feels that, I get it. And you get it, like, you know, like, and you're not alone in that feeling. And it's not the right choice. I promise it's not the right choice, because the reason that we are talking here now and the reason that I have a story to share, you know, and get to meet guys like you is because we didn't make that choice. We made a different choice. And the choice that I made, my second best, was I signed up for I'd always wanted to go to Juarez to do this building trip. And I was never allowed my mother-in-law and my wife at the time didn't want me to go because it was very dangerous in Juarez. Mm. You know, Juarez at one point was the most dangerous city in the world for Americans.
Yeah, it had the highest murder rate in the world.
Yeah, in the world. Yeah, and that was the headline that was kind of out when I was like, hey, I think I want to go do this. It sounds cool. Like, yeah, I think you probably won't.
Let's go there.
And so I was like, I was sort of like, well, I'm not going to do it, you know, because that's just, I'm not doing that to my mom. I'm not doing that to my dad. I'm not doing that to the people who love me. And that's not how my story is going to end. And then I'm like, how does my story end? I'm like, well, I could go build a house for a family and maybe someone would shoot me down there. And that's
heroic. That's heroic.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that it just, you know, that one moment it was really bad. And the next moment I was like, never mind. I'll be happy instead. Right. You know, right. I went to like, I was like, okay, well, what could I do to put myself in harm's way? You know,
yeah,
because I know that this is the end. At that time, I knew that this was the end. And so I signed up for that. And that wasn't happening till, you know, for a ways. And I wrote a lot at the time and I kind of went through this winter and I kind of just couldn't wait to have the weather break. And
were you working at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. So we still do. I'm in the offices right now of our agency. We've got a marketing agency.
Okay.
And yeah, we had that and a couple other things we were doing. But and when I say I was working at, like, you know, I still did the work that I had to do, but I can't imagine I was super helpful. You know, God bless my business partners. And the other thing that happened during that time, speaking of business partners, was my business partners, who were two of my best friends, they had a falling out kind of in the throes of all of that. And, you know, that was like a divorce and it was just like that broke my heart as well. And I didn't have the capacity to handle that. I didn't handle it super well. I kind of withdrew. Also, my dog died to really make it a country song with all the verses. And just like the whole thing. I mean, my life it just felt like my life really, really crumbled. And I was just like, what else? You know, what else you got? And so I guess like to kind of fast forward through that winter, as soon as the weather broke, it's March. So it was 30 degrees in Wyoming, but it was, you know, a nice spring day as far as we were concerned. And I signed my divorce papers and I dropped them off and I was bundled up like a freaking Arctic burrito. And I got on my bike and I rode out. And I remember, like, you know, I was crying on my way out because I was just like, why is my life? And why am I, you know, just like, just here I go, though. And I could feel the tears. Like, not only is it freaking freezing, but it was also, you know, windy. It's cold when you ride. So I could feel the tears like freezing on my neck, and it was a crazy thing. And then I rode out, and then I, you know, to start the whole thing, I met a guy in Las Vegas. I stopped and I went to this, I was staying at across the street from this bar called Hogs and Heifers. And it was, you know, a motorcycle place. So I was sitting outside there because I didn't really want to go in the bar. I didn't really want to talk to anybody, but I kind of was like, well, this is a biker bar. And like, we'd been there before. I went there on a trip with my dad. And there's this guy sitting out there, and he's a guy that like, normally I probably wouldn't talk to. Just this big dude, kind of old school biker fella. And he's like, is that your motorcycle? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, it's all packed up, you know, like it's got all my winter stuff in it. Cause when the weather got good, I could take my winter stuff off, and that was took up a lot of space. Anyway, I have a ton of stuff packed on my bike cause I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. So I was kind of ready for whatever. And he was like, he's like, who hurt you?
Oh, wow. It's the Oracle.
And I looked over at him. I'm like, who are you? And what do you, like, what do you know? You know, like what's going on? And he was like, and I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean, man? I'm fine. And he's like, nobody's out here all packed up like that by themselves on a motorcycle, unless they got some pain to deal with. That was kind of the premise. And he kind of, and then I was like, well, since you freaking
know everything,
well,
they already know, apparently you must be an angel that the Lord put here to check in on me or something. So I'll just, here's what happened, man. And here's what's going on. I was like, yeah, well, here's kind of what's going on in my life. And I remember he said, you've been on a heartbreaker tour. You know, you've just had your heart broken over and over and over again. And which made a lot of sense to me, because I told you I grew up playing punk rock, and I thought that was going to be my plan for life. And so the idea of a themed tour made a lot of sense, you know. And then when I was leaving Las Vegas, I thought about that, and I was like, okay, the rest of my life is going to be a heart maker tour. You know, I'm going to do good for people. I want to go make hearts, you know, I want to serve people. And, you know, thinking back, it's like, that might've been the first thing that I was like, where I made a plan for the rest of my life, or even thought about this rest of my life. And at the time, man, I really remember being like 33. That was like, I was 28 at the time. And I thought 33, that's when I'll die. I don't know why, you know, it's a weird thing to even think about. It's kind of like talking about a dream, stuff makes sense that doesn't make sense when you talk about it. But I remember thinking 33. So I was like, all right. So I got through 4 or 5 years or whatever to live and make the rest of my story and kind of say my goodbye. And I'm going to go out in service to people, and I'm going to go make a wild story, dude, so that when I meet the next ending, or sort of the final ending, I have a better story to tell. And I kind of learned, like, and people, that guy knew so much about me just based on me being out here on a motorcycle. And then being out on a motorcycle was so good. I have ADHD, which I explained to Kevin, which Noel, you might have picked up on by now because I bounce around a lot. Always have, always will. I don't take any medication for it, though I am told that there are some new medications that might work out. But anyway,
don't do it. You're doing great.
Yeah. Thanks, man. Thanks. Sometimes
seriously,
it works great in like in a setting where we're talking and flowing and bouncing around. Sometimes when I'm like, okay, today I have to feed the chickens and I've got to, you know, feed the cows and water the cows and let the dog out at this time and get this thing done and send this email. And then fast forward to the end of the day and I'm like, oh shit.
I know the struggle.
To go back, like riding a motorcycle, this is something I've gotten really good at, is finding where I went off and getting back to it. Riding a motorcycle was so good for sort of take, you know, my hands are busy and my ass is planted in a seat and the scenery is always changing. So I'm entertained. You know, my eyes are entertained. My ears have, I got music in here so I can listen to my sad David Ramirez songs, and my hands are busy. I'm not going to play with something, and I'm in a spot. I'm moving and I'm seated, right? And something about that just sort of lines up the cogs in my brain to be able to think through a topic. And I had a lot to think through. I had a lot of stuff to think through, these partner things and this divorce piece, or just the failure of relationships piece. And I was able to kind of think through those, and I'm like, okay, this and that, and, you know, and really work through that. And it was also very cool to sort of find a community where this guy was like, took kind of one look at me and sort of knew my story, you know, and I hadn't said a word to this guy. I'm like, huh, like I'm not the only one.
This isn't the first time you saw a dude with frozen tears, right? Yeah. I mean, that is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and at the time there was a lot of like negative, there was just a lot of trash culture in motorcycles. I mean, there still is, there's trash culture everywhere, but there was a lot of like, well, you know, land before time, three horns don't play with long necks. And if you don't ride a Harley, you can't ride with us. Time. You know, yeah, I appreciate you got that reference.
It's a great movie. It's classic.
It is a classic. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was like, I can't believe how good this is for me. I can't believe how good this is for my mental health and for me to work out my story and work out I hate the word trauma, but work out stuff, you know? And it was so good for me. And I'm like, the idea that there are people who are staying away from this because they take a look and they see Sons of Anarchy, or they see whatever, some big bald dude in leather who's a jerk who tells him he can't hang out with him, when really like that dude's just hurting because he comes from a story of pain and he's doing all that to protect himself. And like that guy needs a hug more than anybody needs a hug, you know? And I'm like, I see through it all. I see it. And there are a lot of people who don't see themselves in motorcycles. They don't see themselves in this community, in this culture, because the culture is not in alignment with who they see themselves as. And so I was like, I want to make the, you know, Go Fast, Don't Die was sort of this thing that we had as like a side pro, you know, when you run a creative agency, you're always kind of creating stuff. You're always kind of like, and so we had this logo and we had like this idea, but at the time it was just something that my mother-in-law had said that I was like, I love that. You know, she says, most people say like, hey, be safe, be careful out there. And she'd say, go fast, don't die. I'm like, that's this. Like, I love that so much.
That is pretty great.
And so it started as this just shallow, you know, saying, and then I was like, yeah, go fast, don't die. It's really about like finding your life's, like pursuing your life's best story, and avoiding death in small doses. And that is what the brand is. And so I was like, this is what I want to do actually. So I kind of, you know, it's kind of like, hey guys, I got an idea. Like, I'm all in on this. I think I'm done with the marketing thing. I don't really want to do that anymore. I don't want to be a project manager. I don't deal with clients. Like, I just don't care about any of that. And the reason that I did care was because it was in service to my family, which I cared about. It was in service to this story that I was committed to and that I did love, you know? And when that wasn't the thing anymore, I was like, I just don't know how I can get down or get really motivated to make money. You know, I don't care. You know, I'm dying at 33 and I just want to do something really cool before I do it. And so that was it, you know. And we launched the brand officially, and our first line was Ride Whatever. It had a little motorcycle. It was all scribbled out. It just said Ride Whatever. And it was sort of launched on the premise of like, everyone here is welcome. We don't care what you ride. We don't care what you look like. We don't care, you know, what your background is. Like, this is just a brand for everyone. And then our next line was Outsiders. And it was just this whole idea that we are people who've been maybe rejected or don't fit in with sort of this insider crowd. And we're outsiders. And so if you're an outsider, you're welcome with us. You can sit here, which was really the premise of when we had a punk rock band. That was it. That was what punk rock to me always was. It wasn't about, it kind of became cool, but the thing that I loved about it was this is this thing where anyone who's not cool enough to fit into this this sort of in crowd, which is most of us by virtue of like, that's why the popular kids are the few, right? And I was actually, I always got along with the quote unquote popular kids. I always mostly got along with everyone just because I'm like, I get it. We're all trying to find our spot here, but not everyone did. And so the idea that we'd have this punk rock show, it was like, yeah, the music's terrible, but the community's amazing, you know? I wrote it also, but it was in alignment with that. It was the, you know, we talk about callings, and I'm like, this is my call. I'm called to challenge a status quo and to find a place for people to belong and to find, you know, to offer a place for people to belong and subscribe to and learn about themselves and grow and be welcome to come in and figure that out. And I think that, you know, that type of space is so uncommon, unfortunately uncommon. And I think that's changing. I think there are a lot of people like you guys. I think there are a lot of, but I was really just at that time, which was, this was 2016, 2017. Well, this was 2017. You know, that culture in motorcycles was ready to be challenged. And we challenged it and we said, ride whatever. And we said, anybody who's not welcome with the cool kids is welcome with us. And a lot of people have, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of people have started riding motorcycles because not so much just because of us and we made them ride motorcycles and the motorcycle industry should thank us. But they saw themselves as like, oh, I could be that, you know, I'm never going to be whatever, one of the characters from Sons of Anarchy. I'm never going to be that thing, right? But if I can just be whoever I want and I just can ride whatever bike, because I kind of like that one over there, but everyone said that one was a dorky bike. But these guys say it's cool. They say I can ride whatever I want. And then I'm welcome with them and then I can come to their ride. You know, I can come to their event or their camp out or their whatever. And we would do these camp outs. And it was like, they're like, how much to get in? I'm like, this is just a camp out. We're just camping. Hang out. Come hang out. Here's where it is. And we aligned, man. We found culture. We found community. And that community grow. We always say the tribe grows, and it started growing, and more people got into it. More people got into it, and you know, here we are now with 111,000 customers or something that have bought from the brand. And for me, it's like I don't mind obviously when someone buys a shirt. I am not the business guy. I do not care. I care. But I love the idea of people subscribing to an ethos. So I don't mind when someone buys a shirt that says like has a cheeky saying on it, right? But I love when people see like, hey, this is sort of a worldview that I can kind of subscribe to, or an ethos that I can kind of be a part of, or a community that I can call myself a part of. And I want to wear it on my, and I want to wear it. That means the world to me. I love that so much. We hear stories all the time about people who wear our stuff and they see someone else in an airport. And C.S. Lewis says like friendship is born at a moment when you see someone else and you go, oh, you, me too.
Yeah.
So this idea that someone sees someone wearing Go Fast, you're like, hey, Go Fast and the Dive. Like, yeah. And then they end up chatting and exchanging numbers and later meeting for a motorcycle ride. I'm like, dude, thank you for not killing yourself, dude. I'm so glad you didn't, because this is awesome. You know,
let me tell you a little story that's right in line with that.
Yeah.
We have people that periodically usually have their publicists reach out to us and ask if whoever they're representing can come on the podcast, which is how we met and how you're here. And I would say 99% of those requests that come through are individuals that don't fit with the show. We're not interested in, you know, it's just, they're just shotgun blasting every podcast they can find. And
yeah,
you know, you just kind of glance at them and go, no, not a good fit, not a good fit. When yours popped up, I recognized the brand name because I'd seen it around the internet webs somewhere before. Yeah. Right. And I thought, oh, interesting. I feel like I've seen that and I feel like it's cool. And that's all I knew. So then of course, what do? I open up Google, I type in Go Fast, Don't Die, and I start scrolling your website. And the very first thing that I see that catches my mind is a t-shirt that says, destroy what destroys you. And I'm like, I'm best friends with this guy. This is his company. Like, this is my guy. Like, I know this guy already, even though I don't know anything about him. And then I kept scrolling and I saw Comfort is a Slow Death and Tomorrow Never Comes and No One Gets Out Alive, which, you know, I'm obviously cherry picking a certain genre of slogan shirts or hats or whatever, because that's that those things basically represent a lot of my mentality.
Yeah.
But it was just that moment of like, okay, this guy, I can understand some of what he's doing now. It's been fun to hear more of what's behind that and hear more of what is behind your dream and your vision for the brand. And I actually want to talk a little bit about some more of those, just those phrases, if we have time toward the end. But before we go there, I do have a question. Did you always intend on Go Fast, Don't Die being bigger than just a brand, like having it become an actual community where you guys did things together? Did that happen organically?
I guess I intended for the sort of the other way. My intention was to, you know, our mission statement has always been to contribute to a culture and community that inspired our existence, or that inspires our existence, I suppose. And that was on our wall. We had a big shop for a while. And that was, you know, big and clear on our wall if you walked in. It was an awesome shop. I loved that place so much. We don't get a lot of foot traffic in Sheridan, Wyoming. So we had this like massive space and kind of like realized the dream and painted the walls and had hanging up and we're like, it's perfect. And then we're like, does anybody want to be awesome if somebody came here, you know, they're going to love it. And then one person, like, you know, a month would come through and be like, this place is awesome. And they're like, yeah, right. It's awesome. Check this out and whatever. It was like, you know, we were just throwing money away to have this big, cool place. It was sort of a physical embodiment. But to answer the question, yeah, the idea really was like, let's just have this culture exist. Let's have this idea exist, you know, and be a sort of sidewalk prophet to just encourage people to live a better story with their lives. That was the whole thing. If this idea that we can have a community and a culture of people who are trying to live their life's best story, let's just exist to be banks to that river and let that thing flow. That was the whole idea. And t-shirts are sort of like this. So I guess this gets into like brands create culture. You know, Nike, what Nike has done for athletics, you know, like brands, that is what drives. That's what drives people to become, to express is brands. And so we kind of you kind of have to create this brand. And if you are going to, you know, monetization has always been an interesting thing for me, which is kind of why I've been in I have business partners who are much better at that piece than me. Now, I think the piece that I contribute to that thing is, obviously, I think it's the most important thing, which is having truth behind all of that. And, you know, stuff has to get paid for and people have to pay for their stuff and meat costs money and all that kind of stuff. But I just always imagined I would, at the time it was like, at the time when we started, it was like, well, I only got 4 more years to live. I think I can live off of, you know, savings and stuff here and there and just live on my bike and then die when I'm done. And hopefully I've left a good story for the world. It was actually funny. In 2021, I had passed the threshold of 33. And I was like, oh shoot.
Now what?
I might have to live like I'm pretty healthy. You know, I invest a lot of time into my obviously mental and physical health. I might live for a really long time. And my family lives for a really long time. And so I'm like, I should probably do something like buy a house, you know, property value was just going crazy in Wyoming and all the thing, everything was shaking up because 2020 and everybody was moving. It was this crazy mass migration, whatever. So I bought a house, which I just rented to someone else. I don't live there, but anyway,
it starts to make sense to me when you said you were in a punk band, because that spirit is amazing. Like, anybody that joins a punk band it's not the guy who gets guitar who wants to learn Wonderwall to like impress a chick. Like, I remember playing punk shows and 99.8% of the crowd is male, you know, and it's not like you don't do it because there's like an angst you're getting out. There's something, there's a fury in there that gets directed for me. It was on the drums, but I think you've channeled that, like that same kind of spirit. We put it on a bike, like you can give two Fs, you know what I mean? We're going to go out, we're going to figure it out, and everyone's welcome. And I remember that too. Like, you think about the pit, anybody's welcome to get in and get in the mix, you know what I mean? And the same guy that'll knock you down will probably pick you up.
Yeah, man. And there's an energy of, you know, it gives me goosebumps talking about that. Cause just like, so at that time, I remember when I was 15, and when I was 15 is the first time, you know, I like really tried drinking or drugs or any of that stuff. And I remember I went to this concert, and it was, you know, my buddy's big brother's band, and they kind of went on there like, you know, they were like, hey, if you're not getting messed up, get the out of here. You know, it was like this Little John before Little John said it. And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm definitely getting drunk. Does anybody have any alcohol or anything that I can, you know, because obviously I want some, because that's what I do. That's what I'm into, because I don't want to get kicked out of here. I want to belong. And then this idea that like, this is what you have to do to belong here. I just jumped on. I was like, and I remember listening to ICP got really popular.
Oh,
and so I was like, all everybody in the seventh grade, everybody was listening to ICP, and I had to be, you know, my parents, like, I remember my mom found a Kid Rock CD one time. I got a Kid Rock CD that I borrowed from a buddy. Now, did you guys ever listen to Kid Rock?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Did you ever have the Devil Without a Cause album?
Yeah.
So do you remember what was on the front of that CD?
No.
It was just a middle finger.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I can see it now. Yep.
And so I'm down there listening to it and learn, you know, trying to learn the lyrics and all that. I'm like, God, this is cool. You know, it's like Josie's. Do you remember Josie's part? Josie was like the little guy who, like, so I'm down there listening to this album that obviously
you got to give me some of the lyrics and I'll remember, but not off the top of my head.
3'9" with a 10-foot.
Oh yeah. 100%. I remember that. Yep.
Yeah. So this is what I'm listening to. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm learning
quality.
Going to be cool. You know? And my mom comes down, she opens the door. She's like, oh, you know, what are you doing? And she's like, what are you listening to? And she's like, I'm like, mom's just like, it's a, I remember telling him, like, it's Kid Rock. For kids, mom, you know? And so I'm like, playing this, like, I'm like, hey, let me listen to what I want to listen to. But also, like, it's all innocent. Everything's cool here. She obviously heard me. She probably stood outside because this is how my mom operated. But
yeah.
Anyway, then we have this argument. And then she's like, I don't know, you're not listening to it. And then like after this whole argument, this whole blow up, like it was, I remember it because it was obviously traumatic. Like it was obviously this thing. And then she opens up the CD player and she takes it out. She's like, nice. You know, she's but anyway, so I had to be really careful with the music that I brought in. My parents would monitor it pretty well. And ICP got popular. And I remember being in Denver. We went down to Denver and I got to go to this CD shop and I got to buy an ICP album, which like you couldn't do as a young, like you couldn't go to Walmart or get it or whatever. But anyway, I got one. So I, of course, like went and listened to it. And I'm trying to learn all the lyrics, you know. And
for the listener, real quick, you got to tell the listener that doesn't know, because they're out there, I guarantee it. What is ICP? Who is that?
I'll get into that. So
Okay.
ICP was this band. And at the time, like that was kind of the thing. Everybody's got to listen to ICP. It's the Insane Clown Posse. And and so I remember I got home and I started listening to it and I'm like, yeah, I got the ICP album and I'm drawing this little clown guy on my stuff. And I'm like, this is cool. And then I'm like, and I listened to it a few times, you know, I'm like, yeah, this is cool music. And I learned a couple lyrics and then I really got into it. I was like, learned all the lyrics. And I was like, I remember having this moment where I was like, hey guys, this is pretty weird. You know, like, I think he's singing about like raping and killing a kid. That's what it seems like. Definitely killing him because he said he chopped him up when he went into this certain ride. But like some of this other stuff, it's like, I don't know. That doesn't seem cool. Does that seem and my seventh grade buddy is like, oh, dude, you got to loosen up. It's just music. And I'm just like, yeah. And I remember having this moment where I was like, okay, I can either choose to just like let this be cool and go with the flow, or I can say, yeah, I'm not actually down with this. I think this sucks. I think this sucks. I think the content sucks. I actually just am realizing I don't really even like the music. It's just really important to me to be a part, to be cool. I want to be a part of the thing, you know? And it was like, most of the time that doesn't happen. For a lot of people, that doesn't happen till they're in their 40s, 50s.
Yeah.
They run that program for forever. And so I was really grateful to just sort of like, looking back at my kid self, I'm like, dude, good job, Nux. You know, like,
yeah.
It took me a lot longer. I had a phase.
Yeah.
Where I was listening to ICP and Kid Rock and everything else that you could possibly imagine. And I didn't realize till much later on in life, till my 20s, that was actually not what I believed in, not good. And as much as I was trying to fit in and be cool, it, you know, who cares? Which is one of the things I love about what you guys are doing with Go Fast, Don't Die, is you're giving people a realization that maybe they're not able to have on their own, that I don't have to fit in with anything, right? I can have there's this other group of people out here that probably align better with my values and frankly are probably a lot cooler than the people listening to ICP. No offense, podcast listener, if you're still listening to that, although I hope there's some guy in white paint
with black ICP makeup listening to this right now. I hope he's out there.
I went to this bar. I was at this party, and once you start getting, so what's funny is Go Fast, Don't Die creating this place for people who quote unquote weren't cool and they were outcasts and they were outsiders and they didn't have a place to go was a weird path to be getting into the cool, like getting into these cool kid rooms. Right. So Violent J, who is one of the singers,
he's part of he's the posse.
Yeah, he was down at this thing in Austin one time, and I was like, I should talk to him, and I didn't. Whatever, but I was like, anyway, no offense to him either. I just don't think the music's cool. I don't think the content is cool. Like, I just don't. And I get it. Like, you know, they were doing their thing, and it had to be shock and awe. And I was just like, well, I'm shocked, but I'm just don't think it's cool. And like, it's one of those things where like your consumption, everything's a diet, right? So what you're listening to is a diet, what you're eating is a diet, and what you put in is going to have an influence on what came out. So all that to say, when I started the punk rock band, the whole idea, I broke up with this other band. And when we started the band, I was like, okay, we don't swear. Not that we, you know, didn't swear outside of the band or whatever, but like when we're on stage, we don't swear, we don't drink, we don't smoke, we don't sing about smoking, like everything in this, all of these lyrics are going to be positive and uplifting and be this way. And we played with other bands who are, you know, my old band, actually, we played with them one time. They had this song called Premarital Sex. And I'm pretty sure they wrote most of their songs just to like, be like, Brady's gonna hate this one, you know. And I was like, I don't know, this seems weird, but that's cool, you know. We'll sing what we sing, and you sing with, and at least like the people who show up here can have an option. Because I remember when I got into this, I showed up and I said, if you're not this, then there's the door, right? And I was like, I don't want that. And Go Fast, Don't Die has really been a very similar thing to say, hey, if you don't fit in with this thing that tells you you have to be this, this, and that. You can come hang out with us and you are welcome and you'll be celebrated for who you are. And if you want to become better, all of our propaganda, you can pick a shirt. You know, we don't just make shirts because like, hey, this will be a cool shirt. Everything you've got has a story attached to it. It was inspired probably by something that I went through in my life on the road, you know, in that pursuit of my life's best story, a better story for my life. And I want it to be a catalyst for someone else. I want it to be a uniform for people to wear and be like, yeah, you know, this hat's about to come out. It says clocks ticking, start living.
Yes.
You know, which has been a big piece. And everything that you mentioned, all of our stuff, the hope is you see it and you go, oh yeah, I committed to being that thing. You see it destroys you and you say, yes, list of vices, this, or this. One, you're not the only person who has that vice. And two, there are people ahead of you who have gotten through it. And you can too. And here's a culture and community who's going to encourage you through that. We send an email every single Sunday that challenges our, you know, because we'd send sales emails, and that's what a brand does, and that's what a company does. I'm like, I don't want to do that, dude. That doesn't sound like, you know, we still send sales emails, but it was like, if we have this big, you know, we have whatever, 150,000 people on our email list. And I'm like, why don't we send them something cool every month? You know, what if we, and so we came up with this idea of, it was On Any Sunday at the time, which was an old motorcycle movie. Mm-hmm. And then we started calling it On Any Someday because we talk about someday syndrome. That was actually a line that we came out with. People that say like, well, someday I'm going to.
Yeah. Feel. Someday's not a date on the calendar.
That's it. No, you get it. Anyway. So yeah, like our, you know, our stuff really is like it's sort of a blueprint, or at least like a reminder to live your life's best story. And at this point, it so transcends motorcycles. It has so much more to do with mental health than anything. And anybody who, you know, we get people who are like, hey, I don't ride motorcycles, but I really like this. Am I going to be like a poser if I wear this? I'm like, we don't really like motorcycles that much, man. We just like people who ride them, you know, in the place. So, yeah. And it's, you mentioned Shauna. So he said, you, people have publicists they reach out to. And I thought that was hilarious because my business partner called me and he saw something Shauna had posted. And he's like, do you have a publicist now? And it's funny because Shauna's a friend, you know, offered to do this because she thinks I should go on more podcasts. And for me, I like being in the background. I don't ever want to, you know, I saw with church, I remember seeing the preacher and listening to what he had to say and believing what he had to say, and then watching him act outside of alignment with what he was saying, and watching church people act outside of alignment with what I was hearing, what they were, what they were claiming to believe in. And then being like, this whole thing is a whole, this is bullshit. I don't believe him. I don't believe any of you guys. And I didn't. And because they were hypocrites, you know, and so am I. And so it's always been sort of like, go fast is the muse. This is sort of this perfect entity that only has good things to say. And it's sort of up to me to kind of, you know, write these things down and put them out. But I never want to get in the way of someone getting that message and being connected to where the message comes from by looking at me and finding a flaw in me and saying the message is no good. Because the message is good and I'm listening to it as much as anyone else. Really, they're just reading my public journal by looking through our stuff. And so it's not about me. So I've always tried to kind of stay somewhat removed, you know. Obviously, like, this is hugely personal for me, and it's a big part of the whole thing is an expression that comes a lot from me. And it's kind of never been, I don't want to be the face. I don't want to be the person out here that's like, yeah, this is me, follow me. You know, I want to say, hey, no, follow you. You follow yourself. You are called. And here's, let me create a thing that can be supportive, and I'll follow the same thing. But going on a few podcasts have always connected people deeper. So instead of someone seeing a t-shirt, and that's a cool t-shirt, you know, when someone listens to a podcast, they're like, yes, this is my people, and this is my person, and this is kind of what this is about. And it's a long form opportunity to talk about it. And I can't deny that it's been really impactful and really cool. So Shauna offered, I suppose I have a publicist now, but this, the thought of having a publicist and reaching out is funny to me. So we're chill, man.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'd love to dig back into the idea of the small deaths just a little bit. And when you started talking about that, and when I was reading stuff on your website, I was reminded of a quote. Have you ever seen the movie Open Range?
I don't think so.
Kevin Costner, Robert Duvall, it's Western.
Maybe.
All right. Well, I don't have any place to give you homework, but if you ever watch movies, you should watch that one.
It was crazy. I tell people all the time, I go, I've seen Fight Club, Tombstone.
Okay.
One with the guy who's wicked freaking smart.
That's a good list. I mean, you don't need to watch it, but in the movie, the guy, Kevin Costner's character, he's talking to a couple dudes in a bar that are basically protesting that they can't take a stand against this evil that's going on in the movie. And he says to them, you may not know this, but there are things that gnaw a man worse than dying. And it's just that idea that, yeah, you could stand against this, you could do something and you could literally die, but there are actually things that are worse than that. And I kind of feel like that is pretty much what you're talking about when you talk about these small deaths. So with some of your, I guess we'll call them brand slogans or whatever in mind, what are some of the small deaths that you guys are kind of going to war with or attempting to highlight?
I feel like I have seen that movie, although I think it was many, many moons ago before I
really, it's pretty old.
Yeah. So my grandpa loves Westerns. He's seen every single Western that probably 55 times now. He watches them all day long. Like that's how he spends his winters, is sitting there and watching Western movies. So I feel like
not a bad way to spend a winter.
I just looked it up, but I will watch it again. I love that homework. And I agree, dude. I feel like a lot of people, I see a lot of, you know, so when I was mid-20s, I felt like most of the people that I would hang out with were kind of dead already.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of had like resigned from, they were a non-player character, as they say now. Like, I don't believe anyone's called to be that thing. I think they hung up the phone on the calling. You know, and they decided that familiar and miserable was better than risking happy. That we have a risk happy shirt. We got a shirt for every, listen, anything that ails you, we got a shirt for it.
Let's go.
But yeah, so this idea of small deaths, it's, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I see now, which makes it really hard, you know, like, so we have a pretty fair social media following. And, you know, for a while we were posting really consistently on there, and I would go write my heart out on there, and people would respond and say, I really needed this today. I really needed this today. And they still do. And I, on my personal social, I still put stuff out there, though much less than I used to, because I would be the same people that kept coming back and saying, I really needed this today. I really needed this today. And at some point you go, is this really what you needed today? Because maybe you need something different. If we're just kind of rehashed, like you're kind of coming to social media to solve your problems, and like you see this thing and you go, oh, this really hits me for the next 5 seconds. So I'm going to be really impacted until I scroll to the next thing and then I'm going to giggle, you know? And so like I see small deaths on social. I think social media is sort of just like a series of small deaths. And I have this big tattoo on my arm that says invest your time. And this idea that so I believe that time is time that is just spent. Now you might spend time doing nothing or relaxing or, you know, whatever, like lounging. I love that if that's the intention. And I think we lose so much time not investing our time. It's not rest. It's not relaxation. We have the, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. Shout out Teddy. Like we have this thing that just sucks us into going scroll, 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 consume, consume, consume. I'm not that good. I'm not that good looking. I'm not that smart. I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that successful. I'm not that rich. I'm not that famous. I'm not whatever. And I think, you know, so people are going, you know, 50 small deaths an hour. I see that huge. I think wasting time, you know, like time is the most precious commodity. We don't get to check our balance on it. We don't get to check our time account, how much is left. Have you ever seen that movie with Justin Timberlake, by the way, the Time movie? I think it's called On Time.
No.
No.
All right, there's your homework. So
Okay.
This idea. Like,
fair.
He kind of has like, I'll watch Open Range, you watch On Time. So, and respect. I hate that mine's the Justin Timberlake movie and you're.
Dude, come on.
Timberlake's amazing.
He's a talented man. What a, I mean.
The movie's incredible. The premise is amazing. It crushes it. So it's this idea that like you have only so much time, right? So I only have 24 hours right now. And so I have to go to work and I'll get paid 20 hours for working. Right. And if I run out of time, you die. So everybody lives to 25. And then after 25, you're on the clock. Mm. It's a really cool thing because there's also time zones where people are richer, people have more, and it costs money to transfer these time zones. And then you get to the people who have like hundreds of thousands of years. Right. And everyone's 25 in the movie. So it's funny because his mom's super hot and she's 25 and like this, your mom's your same age. Anyway, watch the movie. It's great. But this idea that we, you know, if somebody tried to come in there and steal your headphones, you'd fight them for it, you know, but we'll let people rob us of our time, but you could get new headphones. You don't get more time. You know how many pairs of headphones you can afford. You don't know how much time you can afford. And so anytime that we are wasting our time or spending our time on something that doesn't add to our story, that doesn't serve us in any way, you know, these are those small deaths. And everyone's experience in that is unique. You know, you have your own thing. So, you know, maybe your boss just treats you poorly and you don't say anything because you go, well, someday I'm gonna let them know. That's how people go postal. You know, that's how people go, you know, like, and really it's like, man, I hope, like, some people just give up. They really just give up. They die. They literally die. And then they, you know, their funeral's 45 years later. It sucks, dude. Like, I don't want that for anyone. I don't want anyone to, I'm so grateful for that time at 28 being like, this is the end of my life and I'm not happy with my story. I'm going to go say goodbye and try to live a really crazy one for the next until something kills me. And then I went and lived and got really crazy for a while and then didn't die. I actually came to life. And since then, I've lived more. I can't even relate a whole lot with the guy ahead of me at 28. You know, I relate more with my 15-year-old self who was like, yeah, ICP, I'm not that down. What if I make a punk rock band that gets people together around this idea that they can belong and we'll play crappy music, but we'll have a great time. You know, that's way more me now. And I kind of lost that thing in the interim. And that was a small death, you know, accepting even like when we were, you know, like there were so many things in my relationship. I remember the reason I proposed was like, we were having problems. And I was like, if we get through this, then I believe we can get through anything. So that's what I proposed, which is like, well, that's not intelligent, you know, like things are really bad, but if we get back to baseline, then for sure, this is a good thing I want for the rest of my life. I didn't know, you know, I was like, I was doing the best I can and everyone is doing the best they can. And that's why, you know, when someone like me or someone like you guys, I think that we are called to go share our experiences so someone else can go, oh, there's a different way. There's a better way. There's a different way of thinking. I think that's just massively important. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers the small death piece, but it's.
Yeah, 100%. Well said.
Yeah, hitting the snooze button, man. There's a small death. Don't start your day like that, you know? Don't start your day like that. You set it for a time, right? And that's the time you said you wanted to wake up. So just like, just don't do it. Just stand up and go and go see some sunlight if you can.
Well, tell us about, do you guys get together for, I know you do some different rides and stuff like that. Do you have functions you guys get together for if somebody wanted to join you?
Yeah. So the big one that we do is Devilstone Run. So one time I was on my way home from Mexico, actually we went to a ride in California and then we rode down to Bike Week in Mazatlan, which is insane. I don't know if I encourage everybody to do that, but some people should ought to just do something insane like that. Sometimes just ride your bike into central Mexico. And then we rode in Austin and then I'm riding back and then I'm riding through Wyoming. I'm like, Wyoming really is the best part of this whole thing. And I was like, what could we do? You know, all these people that I've met going to all these different places. And at that time I was riding like 40,000 miles a year. So just covering a lot of ground, meeting a lot of people from all kinds of different walks and different, you know, subcultures in our scene. And I was like, what can we do to sort of invite people back to our neck of the woods? And I was like, well, what do we got in Wyoming? We got Devil's Tower, which is, you know, on the far east side of the state, which is the nation's first national monument. That's kind of cool. And then we've got Yellowstone, which is our nation's first national park, and it happens to be on the other side of the state. And so that's actually a really great ride because it starts with the Devil's Tower, and that's not super beautiful over there, but it's not bad. And it's, you know, we come through Sheridan, which is our hometown, so that's cool. Then we got the Bighorn Mountains, so that gets a lot better. Then we land in Cody, which is the entry to the east entry to Yellowstone. Yellowstone's obviously, you know, a bucket list place for a lot of people to check out. And then, you know, we could finish in Jackson or just finish in Yellowstone. So I'm like, we'll call it Devilstone, which happens to sound really cool. And, you know, this is all in a ride. I'm like, okay, cool. And then we weren't going to do it until the next year, but we pulled the trigger that year. A buddy of ours who actually does all of our apparel, he prints all our shirts. He's just right down the block there. Dropped off this hat on the way here. Shout out Cassie. Yeah, he was like, well, I'll sponsor it. I'll give you guys $500 to go do it. You guys just, what, Surf Wyoming is a brand that he has. And so we did it, man. And then we started with like 12 people and we ended up with like 50. And we're like, yes, this is so cool. And then people were getting out and they're riding their motorcycles and they're actually doing this core thing instead of, you know, at the time Instagram was getting so popular, people were doing more Instagram than riding motorcycles. And it was almost kind of hard to differentiate. Like, I was like, oh, these guys ride. And they'd meet them and then, you know, it was a photo shoot, which is okay. You know, if your thing is a photo shoot, I can get down with that. I'm a photographer. I love photography. I love videography. I love storytelling. But I just think the story should come first and then the telling should come. It should be storytelling, not telling story. So yeah, Devilstone is sort of our opportunity. So people can come to that. It's sold out. It's always sold out. Sold out this year. We're going to have to make it bigger if we want it not to be sold out, because everyone who comes just comes back every time. So it's hard for like new people. We might have to make a segment where like, okay, only new people can buy these tickets. But anyway, it's just a blast. And it's, you know, you just come hang out with 200 of your best friends and ride motorcycles. And it's a small thing. We're going to Biltwell 100. It's a 100-mile desert race in the Mojave Desert here in 2 weeks. We do something called BYO Campout. It's just bring your own camp out. With some of our friends from Utah, who they started something called Motos in Moab and it blew up. And then they ended up kind of managing this event. They're like, no, okay, we're going to start this new thing. It's just bring your own. So everyone's on their own. We don't supply porta potties, just everybody comes and we just drop that one. We just drop coordinates and a date and no other details. So anybody who shows up, you know, is a little adventurous, which that one gets wild.
That's cool. That's cool.
Sturgis is really like, we still go there. I go there with my dad. It really is like father son time. I go there and we do some brand stuff, but really I'm like, hey, the brand is I'm living my life's best story. You live yours. I'm not the leader. I'm not, you know, the guy, but we do some stuff over there and we'll host some stuff and hang out. So yeah, you know, like the big thing is like, I don't want it to be about me or us. I want it to be about people and empower them to have sort of, they can have this flag. They can wave this like, hey, this is us. This is who we are. This is what we're about. This is how we want to live our life. And that's not, you know, there's not some patriarch or some like hero at the front of that they follow. I want it to be, hey, create your own community here. And you can root in this idea that culture and community are important things to people. And you can create your own. And then you can root in this idea of the clock's ticking. Start living. Start living your life's best story. Risk happy. No one gets out alive. Live accordingly. Comfort is a slow death. And just say, like, what does this look like for me to live this out, you know, in my life? And that doesn't have to look like anything. That can be up to you. And it's going to be different for everyone. So that's like the biggest thing. And then, you know, obviously everyone's welcome to do anything with us.
I love it. Well, we encourage you as the listener to go check out Go Fast, Don't Die. I personally am just trying to decide which shirts I'm going to buy. My wife has been on there. She wants a shirt. So go check them out. I would also encourage you to sign up for on any given Sunday, your email list, because I did read through, because I'm assuming the blog, actually, I'm going to make an assumption here and we'll probably edit this out, but the blog on your website is generated from that content. Is that correct?
Yeah. And there's a lot of emails that go out that don't get put on that just because we're lazy. But yeah. And the whole idea was like, let's take something away from social media, because we kind of were like, we don't want to encourage people to get on there.
You know? Right. That's tough.
You know? Yeah. We're like, we can send them an email. Nobody wants to hang out in emails, but we'll just drop some like a little nugget in there, and then we'll never have anything for sale on that Sunday email. There'll never be like a little thing that encourages you to go spend money.
Discount code, new product. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just food for your soul. And it's so good for us, because we get together and talk about what we should talk about. And then we talk about it, and then we have a thing that we want to share with people. So yeah, it's just about adding value.
Yeah. So certainly go to the website and sign up for that, because there is some really interesting and thought provoking content on there that I didn't expect to be reading on a, you know, what you might initially just perceive as, oh, this is just another cool brand or another cool motorcycle brand. But there's actually, as you can hear from this conversation, a lot of thought and experience and life and heart behind it. So it's good stuff for sure.
Well,
Brady, thanks for coming on, brother. And I'm definitely inspired. It's just, I love to have these talks with guys like you, because it's a reminder of that the clock is ticking, and that we can live some pretty impressive lives, and you can do some great things that for you, you know, like for me, I might not get on a motorcycle today, but I think I'm definitely going to go bang the drums in the garage with some punk rock music when we're done right now. You know what I mean? And like, that gives me joy. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I don't want those drums to collect dust, you know? So it's that whole community thing. And I love what you're doing, brother. So thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It means the world. I really appreciate it. I appreciate that you guys turned people down and that you accepted me. makes me feel special. I just love it. If someone asked me to come on a podcast, you know, for me, I decided like I never am going to ask what their listenership is or what their whatever or where they publish. I really don't care. I don't even care if it never gets published. The thing that I notice is we don't jump on and have these types of conversations. You know, like everything we just covered for the last whatever it was, hour and a half. When we just don't pick up the phone and call anybody, not even our best friends. I mean, fortunately, we do a little bit more of that because it's like this lifestyle that we've chosen. But this stuff doesn't happen. These conversations, the conversations and sort of the environment you get into in a podcast is such a sacred and cool space where not only do we get to have this conversation, which again, I would call it success here. Like I'm stoked to chat with you, Kevin, and you, Noel, like, I just think this is really special. So I would never say no. This stuff fires me up. It reminds me why I do the stuff I'm doing, as you deal with returns and like all this stuff. Like, what am I doing? You know? And this is the whole point. So it means the world. Thanks for just giving me a platform to talk about it and to dig in and actually like breathe life into what we're talking about. Cause it doesn't exist without someone saying, yes, I believe that. And I'll actually live that story. And it means the world when they wear our brand to do it. So thanks for having me, guys.
It's awesome. We'll definitely do it again, brother.
And I'll have a sweet camera set up, I promise.
Oh, you're good to go.
And I'm going to get a cool microphone and just
we'll help you with that.
All right. Yeah. I love that.
This has been the Fire You Carry podcast.
Thank you so much for listening. Big thank you to Brady for being willing to come on and have that conversation with Kevin and I. If you didn't notice, I showed up late to that podcast. There was a good 15 minutes late that I was not in the podcast at the beginning. So that's why I wasn't there. I showed up late. I didn't plan well. Got stuck in traffic. Anyway, I digress. If you haven't done so already, go check out the Go Fast, Don't Die website. In the show notes, I went ahead and took the liberty of putting a David Ramirez song up. I do not know if this is one of the songs that Brady was listening to while he was sitting in his rocking chair, but I do know that this is one of my personal favorites from David Ramirez. So I went ahead and threw that up there for you if you're curious. I would guess that a lot of you haven't listened to David Ramirez, so go check that song out. It's actually a really good one. We just wrapped up another one of our Fire Up program classes. This is class 9 or class 10 or class 11, depending on how you count them. But it was a blast. We had a really good group of dudes come up there. Just a really awesome experience. Our next one is out in October. Jump on the website, look at those dates, and start planning now to come out, because we're going to be out there. The weather's going to be perfect, and it's going to be a great experience for you. We just know that because we've been doing it long enough. It is awesome. It's a blast. Everybody gets a ton out of it, including ourselves. So go check those dates out on the website. Links for that are obviously in the show notes, and plan on seeing us out there in October. We will also be having our 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb in September. It's going to be on September 8th this year instead of the 11th, because that puts it on a weekend. So set that date aside as well. If you haven't been out to our Memorial Stair Climb that is sponsored by Core Health and Fitness and Stairmaster, it is a blast. It's a great family event. Everybody comes out, everybody climbs, has a great time. It's a very patriotic and respectful event honoring the fallen. So plan on that as well. There's probably a bunch of other stuff that I should talk about, but I've already been rambling long enough, probably because I'm doing this after midnight. We'll see you next week. All right, don't go anywhere.
Got it.
You got another couple minutes?
Don't touch that dial. Oh, yeah.
What do I press, Noel?
Don't press anything yet.
Okay.
Just in case something rad gets said that I can plug in at the end. You know how this goes. Dude, Brady, that was awesome, man. Thank you so much for your time. And I do apologize again for being late. That's unexcusable.
It's excusable. It's so not a big deal. We're out here chatting, man. We're just talking about life, dude.
That was great.
Would you, so obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious, but legitimately, I don't have to ask Kevin. I can tell already, and he just said it. We'd love to have you back on for another episode at some point if you'd be willing to do it.
Of course.
And this is a long shot, but I think you might be able to help me out with something. So your perspective on the church is a really common one and fascinates me, because I have similar experiences, similar perspective. And I think if you were willing to do it, we could have a really good conversation about just that aspect of the church and how prevalent that really is. Because I mean, so I grew up at a Christian camp. I've been in ministry in and around it and in the church forever. And I, of course, you see that all the time, because like you said, we're all fallen and all flawed. But then I would love if we could have that conversation about that issue and just be honest about it and be like, look, this is what it is. But then extrapolate beyond that and say, this is how we think it should look, specifically for people like us, for men, or for just people in general who are looking for something genuine. Does that make any sense?
It makes all the sense. I think, man, the way that we are talking for the last hour is the way that I think all the time. I'm very much a philosopher and a digger in.
Yeah, Shauna warned me about that. Actually, it wasn't a warning. She didn't present it as a warning, but she did say that that's part of why, and I didn't want to say this on the podcast that, you know, maybe embarrass you because you're trying to be in the background, but she told me that the reason she was reaching out and trying to get you on podcasts is because of the way you think and the way you communicate, and she wants more people to hear.
Yeah.
So in case you don't know, that's part of what's behind what she's doing, which I think is great. I agree with it.
Yeah. No, I mean, dude, I did this podcast with, I don't know if you guys, you said you kind of looked around, but my friend Bert Kuntz, he's a Green Beret and got popular. He was on some show before I knew him, and he kind of got popular. He was in with the Black Rifle guys and worked for Black Rifle for a long time and kind of blew up in that scene. And then he was on this TV show. He's been on several TV shows. He's Ozzy Osbourne's security guys, just an interesting dude. But he and I became really good friends, and he had me on his podcast. And every week, this was like 4 years ago, we did this podcast. And every week, someone sends me a message on Instagram. And they're like, hey, I listen to your podcast, and it just means the world. And I'm like, I don't even remember what I said. You know, we're just hanging out. had these really nice microphones, by the way, which was a blast. I was like, this is cool. I don't get to tell you, I sound like a guy from the news, you know. But every week I get a message from somebody saying, thank you for doing this podcast and thank you for what you said. And I'm like, I don't know what I said.
Crazy.
Thank you for listening, you know. And even like, you know, today, before, in between the last podcast I did, which was like 2 hours ago, and this one, a guy messaged me and he's like, hey, I haven't watched porn today. I told him like 3 days ago, I was like, hey, why don't you try not doing it? I was like, he put on something. He's like, I'm not going to watch porn today. I put on my stories, like, what are you doing to serve yourself today? Or what are you doing to whatever? And I'm like, why would you do? He's like, I'm not going to watch porn today, which I think is what he wanted me to hear. I'm like, well, why would you do that? And he's like, well, I don't know. He's like, I just don't know if it's super healthy for me. And I'm like, well, why is it unhealthy? And he was sort of like, I think he felt like I was saying like, it's fine. Just, you know.
Right, right.
And I just was challenging him to have his own thought instead of, because that's what's going to encourage him to quit what's something that he's trying to quit. Not because someone else tells you to. That's just as bad.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Got to have your own motivation.
Yeah, that's just shallow soil, you know? So there's no roots that can grow into that. So I just kind of challenged him into that. And he's like, well, I was like, well, maybe you'll maybe just try like going a few days without watching porn and just see how it goes. Maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad. He's like, okay, I'm going to try it. And I'm like, all right, let me know, you know? So in between these things, he said, he's like, hey man, I haven't watched any porn since 3 days ago and it's going good, but I really want to today. And I'm not sure. And I just sent him this video message. I was like, bro, that shit is trying to kill you. Like it's trying to take over and make you a slave to its thing. It doesn't care about you. It doesn't love you. It's everything like that's holding you back from becoming the person that you want to be. It's not about the porn. It's about you deciding what's best for you. You recognizing something that isn't serving you and you being the master of what you choose to put in your life and what you choose to cut out of it. And I was just on one because I just did a podcast and I have.
Yeah, you're all fired up. Yeah.
And then he messaged me back and he's like, yeah, dude. He's like, destroy what destroys you. I'm like, bro. And so, and he was one who he came from a podcast that I did 4 years ago, you know? So I recognize the need or I recognize the importance of doing these things. Like I said, I love doing these. I would do just this without ever hitting the record button all day long. Like, I would love to, I would love to do that. And my partner Josh is like, dude, you need to do more podcasts. He's the one who put Shauna up to the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they're doing. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down. Cause I love doing these. Right. I will always say yes. And you know, maybe if I end up doing six a day or something, I'll be like, right? I mean, chill out. I'm telling the same story over and over. I only have one. and all of the things that we talked about, all of the pieces have a lot of, you know, We went all across a long list of high level.
Yeah.
So if you want to get into the church and you want to get into, you know, my perspective on that or just, you know, collaborate on perspectives and discuss. I used to have this shirt and it had this old church on it and just said, fix what's broken. Mm. And I believe in that, man. I believe that the church is supposed to be the community where people can show up and truly as who they are. Because if God is a God who knows everything you've ever done and knows all the fibers you're being, and you have this omnipotent, omniscient thing that knows it all, then who are we fooling to wear a button-up shirt and pretend, you know,
pretend that we're something.
Yeah. I remember having this argument with my mom. She would never let me wear a skull shirt to church. And as long as it was the first time she ever slapped me, actually. I had this argument ready to go. I was like, okay, here's my points. Here's the thing. And I got a Bible ready to go for her. Like, I'm going to let her know. And I waited in my room until it was like, you know, 8:57 and we get
time to go. Yeah.
She's like, ready to get in the car. And I run up and I just get in the passenger seat. I'm like, okay. And she goes, puts the car in reverse, you know, I'm like, nice, here we go. And she stops and she's like, what are you wearing? I had this AFI shirt that had this,
this
skull.
Yes.
And she was like,
oh yeah.
She knew the shirt well, you know, she knew I had it. She knew it was like the last thing I could buy. And I'm like, and so she's like, what are you wearing? And I was like, okay, ready for this dissertation, mother? Actually, mom, she goes, just smacks me in the face. She's like, go put the shirt on. Like, we're late. And I'm like, okay. You know, and just like, I had this whole plan. It's like when a guy thinks about like, oh, I'm going to walk up to him. And if he gets in the face, you know, skirt, hit him with the left, you know. And when it happens, they end up slipping and like, you know.
It's the Mike Tyson. We all got a plan until you get punched in the face.
And my mom literally, but she slapped me for sure. So anyway, and since, you know, at that, and so I remember going to church that day and being like, I'm going to tear this place apart, you know, like just like theologically and theoretically and philosophically, I'm just like, how do I attack this whole system and this whole thing? What am I seeing? That's when I really started paying attention. I'm like, that guy's doing business deals. Like, this is what Jesus flipped tables over for. You know, that's what's happening in this church. And you guys aren't even like down with the guy you say that you're paying attention. I'm paying more attention to the guy you say you're paying attention to. And you're all getting dressed up, but I'm actually digging into the thing. And this whole thing is trash. And I threw away the whole thing. I was like, I'm out. I'm going to go to the heavy metal show and drink beer. You know, because I'm finding more truth in that community than I'm finding in here. And it sucks. It's the exact reason that I don't think that I belong at the head of this organization that I really believe in, because, you know, I don't want to be the guy who someone looks at and goes, you're full of shit. I'm not following any of this. I'm like, hey, all of this is good for you. I'm just a scoundrel, you know? So anyway, I would love to answer that in a really long.
Yeah. And obviously there's a lot of other topics we could talk about, but for some reason, the way you talked about that, it really caught my interest. And because of the background I come from, I believe in telling the truth and talking about things that I think are important or that are important to me. But at the same time, I have to be gentle in certain realms because
What's great about the long form podcast, though, is that I encourage you to be more of the face, because when you have long form like this, you could see that you're a real guy, and then people relate to that, because we're all, you know what I mean? Like, we're all failed, you know what I mean? And I think that when you talk about things, even though if you'd watch your Instagram, you look like this badass black belt in CrossFit or motorcycle, and you are, but at the same time, you could be humble and candid enough to tell about some of the things that you've struggled with. And I think that's where guys relate to, say, okay, well, maybe I can strive to be that too. I don't have, that's my identity. It doesn't have to be just one thing. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, you have to become a black belt and beat him at CrossFit and do all this stuff and ride all these miles and do all this. I remember trying to earn my way in the motorcycle community. So I did several thousand mile days just so I could, so the tough guys on motorcycles, and I'm out here trying to preach my, be nice, you know, but I'm like, they'll, because the thing that they value is, do you ride, brother? And I'm like, I ride harder than you. I rode from Wyoming this morning, you know?
I can't open my hand.
Right? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, I did the thing that you value. I've bought my ticket into you respecting me enough to listen to me. Now listen to me. And a lot of that stuff is like, yeah, I want to work hard enough so that people will listen to me. It's like, I want to get rich so that I can tell people that's not the path. Right. They're not going to listen to a broke guy tell them how stupid it is to chase money. Right. So it's like, okay, I'll figure out a way to go do this just so I can come back and say, this isn't the thing. But I appreciate that. And I agree. And that's why I think podcasts are important, and why, you know, it's not begrudgingly. If it was just Brady going on the podcast, no problem all the time. When it's sort of Brady from the standpoint of go fast, and we're sort of even getting into promoting product, I'm just like, icky. I'm just like careful. And it's not, I'm like, I want these products. I want this stuff in people's life, because it's really just ethos. It's really worldview that they're wearing on their chest. And I love that. It means the world to me. It's the biggest compliment you can give me. And I just don't, I'm always leery of the guy who shows up, who has this great thing to say, who has something to sell on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Just, you know what I mean? Like, you get it. So anyway, I appreciate it, guys. It's awesome. And yeah, anytime you want to jump on, we can talk about anything, even something, the least comfortable thing for me to talk about, I would love to talk about, because I just think that's the thing we need to get better at. You know, that's a thing that, yeah.
Agreed. Well, we'll be back in touch for sure. I'll reach back out.
Cool. And yeah, sorry for missing you guys the other day.
No, it's all good, dude. Yeah. It happened for a reason. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for your time.
Cool. Thanks, guys.